Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right. I was like, as we were getting ready for this, I was ready to be like, all right, what's the fake big news? Because we've done that for like 4 weeks now. We're like, big news this week.
Oh, it's sure.
Something mundane.
Big news this week. Jinder Mahal signs to Raw, apparently.
Really?
According to, I can't remember the exactly which dirt sheet, but it's one that like, sometimes they're right. You know?
I was going with the ZZ release.
Oh yeah, ZZ
release.
ZZ got released today.
So,
yeah, I can kind of understand both. The Jinder Mahal one kind of like, I don't know. I kind of feel sorry for him, like, you know, as like a like an abused spouse going back to their, you know, abuser.
Yeah,
it's just like, you know, they're just gonna do the same thing to you again, like. There's not going to be any progress. Like, yeah, sure, you're going to be on a show that doesn't have as big of a roster as it did when you were first there, but it's still Raw, and it's still, like, the bigger... Not, again, I could be wrong as far as, like, which show, but why?
But WWE loves them, their stereotypes.
Sure, like was there any, like, okay, for instance, was there any point in them drafting Alicia Fox? She still wasn't on the show. She probably still won't be. Like, she might have been on the stage at one point.
Yeah.
But that's it.
All right. So, let's try and do this in order.
Okay.
So, Battleground comes first. Thoughts on Battleground?
Overall, a pretty good... It was a fun show.
I will say a couple of highlights.
Okay.
I was really pleased with the main event.
Yes.
And that's the kind of thing where I was like, that's been building up in my head for about 40 years. Like, Shield triple threat. Which, yeah. I was like, this is...
I know they've been
spitting out this, like, worthy of a WrestleMania main event kind of catchphrase a lot.
Sure.
But this is a match where genuinely is like, this should be your WrestleMania main event, right?
Yeah, it absolutely should have been. So head scratcher as wise as it was on Battleground.
Yeah. So that was when I was a little bit like, I don't know if I'm going to be fair to this. It might not live up to my expectations here.
Sure.
And it's not match of the year or anything, so in a way, it didn't live up to my expectations. But it was still a really solid match. No real complaints about it. A lot of back and forth. Everybody looked good in it.
Agreed, yeah.
I was a little worried about, like, even if Roman's not going to win... I was a little worried it was going to be like, Roman looks like the dominant one, so he'll be the dominant
one. Make Roman look strong, that whole thing.
I'm not even saying like they would intentionally wrap the match around making Roman look strong.
I can believe it.
You just have a small guy, a scrappy guy, and a giant brick wall guy.
Right.
And so I was worried that it was going to look like too much of this one giant guy beating up on these two little guys.
You gotta stop saying guy. It's making the joke wheel spin too much in my head. That's why I'm just sitting here shaking my head. You gotta stop saying guy. Because I'm sitting here like, he's not a good brick wall guy. He's not a bad brick wall. No. But no, the main event overall, I was very pleased with it. Again, I would have totally been fine if that was a WrestleMania main event.
Yeah.
And it still could be.
It still could be.
But I understand why they want to do it now, because this is, you know, in theory, their last chance to do that while they're all on different shows.
At the same time, I've always said, like, you know, if the storyline works out the way, don't stretch something out too long.
Sure,
to
sure.
put it
yeah,
on
yeah.
an important pay-per-view. And they did, so...
I mean, in this storyline... It fit the way they spun it, even with the suspension. Like, this kind of worked.
Kind
of worked out a good time. Because had Roman been in a one-on-one scenario, you would have had a one-sided, you know, promo battle.
Right.
For the entire month leading up to it. But since it was a triple threat, which I'm sure they set that up before they made the suspension public. But still, like, I'm kind of glad it all worked out.
It did work out.
But another note from Battleground, Bayley.
Bayley did show up.
I mean, the pop she got was, it made me feel good.
Yeah.
Because Battleground was, forgot exactly what town it was in.
Well, she got a pop, and then her little wacky waving inflatable tomb arms yes. guys got a pop.
Yes.
Which was nice.
So I feel like that should be... Because, you know, we always... we're always concerned about whenever she finally makes her full-time on main roster thing, because apparently this was just a one-time thing for right now.
Yeah.
Probably because they're having her focus on NXT with Asuka at Brooklyn 2.
Yeah.
But aside from that, you know, we always talk about how we're concerned about how the main roster is going to treat her. And will it translate? Will you know, the powers that be, like, make her the next Emma?
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, is a legit concern.
It is.
But just letting her just go on the main roster for one night, not change a single thing about her, and see if it works. See if people recognize it, see if people notice, and by God, they did.
Yeah.
So I felt like that was kind of a putting a toe in the water, testing the temperature kind of thing. Okay.
The other thing I want to mention is the Sami Zayn Kevin Owens match.
Good match.
So we were kind of, you know, complaining about, like, oh, this would have been really good, you know, final match that these guys
sure,
will have.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
And then they put them both on Raw. So I was like, well, these guys fought like it was the final match these guys could have. Like, nobody told them that they were going to be on the same roster the next night.
Skipping ahead slightly, it was also a good move that they were both put on. I believe they were put on separate Fatal 4-Ways.
They were put on separate Fatal 4-Ways.
So that's good, because the lazy booking that we have grown accustomed to would have put them both in the same Fatal 4-Way and cost each other the match again.
Yeah, I do think that they will shy away from these two guys for a while, because... And it was Sami Zayn finally getting his clean pay-per-view victory yes. over the guy that screwed him up over so
time
long ago.
Again, yeah. Yeah, but great match.
Yeah.
I
really
enjoyed,
good
I
match. I think match of the year contender, if not for the Nakamura Sami Zayn match.
Right, yeah. That Nakamura Sami Zayn is just set the bar so ridiculously high. Somewhat early in the year.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and as time goes on, you, at least for me, like, you just kind of build it up more and more in your head. So it's hard, it feels almost impossible for anything to beat it, you know what I mean?
I mean, there have been a couple of things that have made me be like, yeah, I need to check out that Nakamura match again just to kind of make sure.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Cause,
just kind of touch base with it, mm-hmm. yeah.
Well, and we've definitely had several matches, several years, where there'll be something in, like, February,
mm-hmm.
or even at WrestleMania, it's still early enough in the year where you're like, match of the year, and then you feel like you've decided it, and
yeah.
so it's kind of hard. Now it's the one to beat,
yeah.
and it's harder for something else to kind of take that place. And so, like, I'm not going to say Sami Zayn Nakamura match of the year right now, but I've gone back and watched
yeah.
it recently, and I'm like, well, that held up
yeah,
pretty fantastically.
Yeah, I mean, I'm intrigued by Zayn and Samoa Joe at Takeover Brooklyn 2.
Mm-hmm.
That, I feel like, that atmosphere, those guys could, you know, knock the other Nakamura match off its pedestal. But as far as, like, matches that we know of right now, I don't really see anything quite knocking it off.
No.
There's a couple that's come close. Like, if a final Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, or that we know of, final mm-hmm. Kevin Owens.
The current Zayn. Final one.
Yes. Comes pretty close. A match that we saw on Raw, for me, this week, came really close. To the point where I'm thinking about now rewatching Zayn and Nakamura. And yeah. rewatching this match, but we'll get to that. But really, like, that's the major... things that I wanted to point out on Battleground. But
okay. Moving on to Raw.
Raw, okay. I will say, because, you know, for a very formulaic show, I felt like Raw, out of the two shows, felt the most different. Compared to
yeah.
the usual hubbub, I suppose.
So, I will say, Raw... it's kind of hard not to talk about one without talking about the other,
oh, sure.
especially
yeah, yeah.
with setup. Raw feels like a complete show. SmackDown felt
yeah.
very thin.
Yes. SmackDown, it felt like Raw, it felt like everything was just planted in cement. Like, we know what we're doing. It's a new thing, but we know what we're doing. We're executing it. They mm-hmm. And I will say, they executed Raw incredibly well this week.
Yeah.
SmackDown, not bad, but it feels like they're still unsure about exactly what they've got.
Do you remember the episode several years ago now?
Mm-hmm.
It was towards the end of the original brand split. They were on, I think, their European tour, mm-hmm. and the volcano went off, and so they couldn't make it back to wherever they were supposed to be
so
that
it
week.
Because the show was back in the States.
Mm-hmm.
They were all in the Raw was in the European tour, I believe.
Yeah.
And so the only people that were there were in the States, which were SmackDown guys and Triple H, who was at the office.
Mm-hmm. And so there was some video in, there was a lot of SmackDown guys, and then there were like a handful of the Raw guys that they didn't even bother to bring on the tour.
Right, yeah.
And that's kind of what SmackDown feels like, even though they have, John Cena and Randy Orton and the WWE champion.
Yeah.
It felt like they're like, well, here's these guys. Like, we have some.
And that's probably, honestly, that's probably a big reason why they left the championship on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. So you have that little bit of stability, and you got some of the more established guys on SmackDown with AJ and John Cena, Randy, those kind of guys. I feel like the big reason, at least for this first week, why it felt so thin was you had six of the top guys all in the same match in the main event.
Well, I think the 3-2 ratio of superstars,
mm-hmm.
and I get that it's coming from the whole 3 hours, 2 hours mm-hmm. set up, but when you have your whole roster out there and they don't quite even make it around the ring, it looks thin. It looks like it has this feeling like that's
and that's
it.
Why a lot of the former talent that they're bringing in are going to SmackDown.
Right.
I honestly that's probably the best way to do it, because I was kind of scratching my head. I was like, well, why didn't you include these guys in the draft? Because I assume they're eligible, but it's more like, here's what we've got now. Here's your rosters. Now you can make free agent calls. That mm-hmm. kind of thing. Like after the NFL draft, guys that weren't necessarily picked up in the initial free agency wave, you can now, people that weren't drafted, you can sign them.
Oh, yeah. I have no problem with that. I think that's a really good way to handle that, all things considered. I think that some of this comes from the fact that a lot of these guys, I haven't mentally transitioned into two separate rosters yet. I don't think anybody has.
Yeah.
And so guys like Dolph Ziggler, it's like, he's, a solid upper mid-carder.
Right.
And I think there's, very good chance that he might be a main event player now that there is room.
Right.
But I haven't mentally made that transition yet.
Which makes for a great moment for, spoiler, when he wins the number one contendership. Because, again, he's the guy that are just like, he's probably not going to win.
Yeah.
You look at everybody else in the match. Because
I'm wildly used to him not winning at this point.
Like, even with, Baron Corbin and Apollo Crews, and I was like, well, yeah, no, he's still, the bottom of, their picks, probably.
Mm-hmm. So, question. What do you think is going to go on last at SummerSlam? The WWE champion or the new WWE Universal Champion?
Universal.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think,
As highly touted as they've made both Seth and Finn, both of them are top five picks,
I would also like to address real quick.
Okay.
So they open up the show with Stephanie blaming Roman for losing. And I thought, that's really cool. He did get the pin for us.
Yeah.
You blew it for Raw. Seth Rollins had been back. It stayed true to her character.
Sure.
It stays true to both Roman and Seth. I was like, all right, I'm kind of digging this angle on how they're handling this.
Mm-hmm.
But then she's like, Raw has always had a heavyweight championship. We need a heavyweight championship. She had a heavyweight four times.
Sure.
And okay, so are they going to bring back the heavyweight champion? No, they're not going to do that. But they have a cruiserweight championship that they're going to be having. So is there going to be a heavyweight cruiserweight specification? And it's like, well, so their heavyweight championship is now between Seth Rollins and Finn Balor,
both of
who
which
are the two lightest guys on the roster, right?
Yeah.
And if not, they're very close to the two lightest guys on the roster.
Yeah.
So,
but they fixed it by just adding in the entire universe into their championship. This has to be the, like, okay.
I would like to make a motion.
Okay.
That I don't accept the Universal Championship as the main title. The WWE title is still the main title.
Yeah.
I don't.
Okay, again, like, because I believe the first time, or at least for a while, when we had the last brand split, the WWE Championship was on SmackDown for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
The heavyweight was on Raw.
Yes.
And again, it was because, like, in that company, they established the WWE Championship more, so in this other show that doesn't get quite as many viewers, you know, that's where
where you can see the WWE Champion.
Right. And so this one, I feel like they're going to eventually try to, you know, bring it up somewhat. And then, you know, I'm pretty sure, like, within a couple years or so, they'll switch it to where the Universal's getting passed around by Sheamus and Del Rio or something.
Universal sounds kind of dumb, right?
Sounds the dumbest.
Like, it's just the first of all, it's the WWE Universal Championship, which...
Well, let's put it this way. I'm glad that they've covered all the bases. You've got... Okay.
You can start... It's tiered. Start in the United States
Championship, then the Intercontinental, which is the rest... Well, this...
Which is everything that's not...
The U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the World Heavyweight Championship, which is just now the WWE Championship. That covers the entire planet. And now you cover the entire universe. I feel like they've skipped a few steps. Like they don't have a... There's no
solar system.
There's no Milky Way championship. It's just the whole universe.
Well, you know, when like somebody comes from the next galaxy over and like wants to contend...
Like 1,037,000 whatever blah 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 quadrant.
Yeah, it's just...
It's so dumb.
It's dumb. Like, I just...
Like, I appreciate... Again,
they explain where the name comes from, and I get the, like, thought process, but, God, that feels like something that feels like it's drawn in an 8-year-old composition notebook.
Right.
The universe champion.
Sure. That when you also add in the eventual Cruiserweight Championship, Raw's going to feel super belt heavy.
Yes.
You know, when all you really had to do was... build up the U.S. Championship. Now, and that doesn't necessarily, like, Rusev doesn't necessarily make a sexy main event for SummerSlam.
Really
anybody.
I feel like...
But they could, they've got a month to build them up.
I feel like...
Where it could be believable.
The prestige and history is still there for the United States Championship. It's the real main title of Raw.
Sure.
The Universal Championship is the mid-card belt. Because it's new and hasn't had time to build up prestige.
You're going to hang on to that until it's the main event of SummerSlam, aren't you?
I might, and I might go past that. We might be doing our SummerSlam review, and I'm marveling about the ingenuity of putting their mid-card belt on last.
You're going to call it the usurper belt or something.
The Ward
Championship of Raw.
I want to compare this to... The women's title, when they introduced the women's title,
mm-hmm.
there was so much an air of this is... And part of it was because they were getting rid of the Divas title at the same time.
Right.
Where it was like, this is now this.
Yeah.
This is the equivalent of this, but better. And but better for several reasons that, mm-hmm. you know, go into, like, backstage politics and history of, you know, historical issues with this company. But... The fact that, like, now it's, like, this other thing where they're like, we made a new championship.
Yeah.
And I get you can because it's your company, but why is that better than, like, the $1 million title?
Sure.
When someone's just like, I'm this champion. Or the internet title.
Yeah, that could have definitely been something. Especially like, with, apparently, from gathering from what somebody, I forgot exactly who it was, but somebody had said on SmackDown... that the SmackDown pay-per-views would be network exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
That's a perfect time to do an internet championship. Now it's on SmackDown, so you don't have much time. But
that
would be a great way to go about it. If it's the
you
internet
know what,
championship...
To me, network champion doesn't sound as dumb as universal champion.
No. call it internet champion, call it network champion. I don't care. Like, both of those sound better than Universal.
And I think this is a good time to bring back. Please bring back the hardcore title.
Yeah,
you have
a network.
You have 24/7. You know,
break in at any moment. Out.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I would that is what would get me to follow you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't follow everybody on Twitter.
Yeah.
Because and I don't have the little app that's going to push out notifications. Because if I'm not watching,
they don't do that anymore.
Oh, they don't?
That's not from unless I.
Well, you know what? Michael Cole didn't tell me that.
Sorry, but no, they don't do. But that would be that would probably be the only reason why I would be interested in getting push notifications for WWE.
I think that's like better
because they used to spoil pay per view matches.
That was the problem.
Yeah, that's why I might I need to go and look at my settings.
So you might have just turned off push notifications for that.
But that was on my other phone because it's been a long time since they did that. So it might have been like a whole other phone ago.
But I would absolutely I would be seeking out whatever app would give me push notifications that tune into the network.
Sure.
Such and such is just challenged for the hardcore title.
Yeah, and I'm still like I want to know what they're going to do with the tag team and women's championship for the tag teams and women that are not on Raw. Like, I was still like, they haven't answered those questions and, like, the cruiserweights that are not on Raw.
Yeah. And it could be that they're getting titles and they just haven't gotten to it yet.
Sure.
Because
they only have two hours. Yeah, like, I get it. Their major belts need the initial attention. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's, like, the rest of these weeks, they'll roll all that information out. But then again, even if like I don't want new belts, you know, like that makes it really crowded.
It does. And I get the
tendency
to be trigger happy on belts because that gives you an instant reason to feud.
Yeah,
you're feuding for a title. Okay, I get that. I feel like the thing that's always the issue with specifically the Intercontinental and the United States Championship is we all know they're not as important as the big one.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, we don't ever talk about that or acknowledge that on the show. I mean, we do all the time. But on the show, that's never really talked about or acknowledged that these are less prestigious belts.
Yeah.
But the same people are eligible for them. There's no different parameters. If you had a TV title or a network title, the parameters are it's going to be defended exclusively on the network.
Right.
On network events, this title is defended. And so once you have those kind of parameters around it, okay, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, tag team is different. It's a tag team title. These guys have to fight as a tag team to win.
Sure.
These titles. But there's no difference with the Intercontinental and the WWE Championship.
No.
Somebody's, you know, I want to be the best. I'm the best in the world. I aim to, you know, be the top face of this company, and I want to prove it by going for the less important title.
Sure.
And it doesn't ever ring true.
No.
And they've never, ever, ever addressed that.
No.
And I don't expect them to at any point, but throwing more belts at the problem is not the solution.
No. Now I'm sitting here like, while you were talking, I was just sitting here trying to figure out like, what would the Universal belt look like? But I can't come up with anything. It's like it's a big black hole, and that's probably what the belt's going to be. Just a black hole.
Oh, I don't know. They'll unveil it in probably 2 weeks on Raw.
Oh, sure.
I don't know.
If you're listening to this, and you are an aspiring artist, or you have some crayons. let's have a universal championship design contest. Send it to our email. That's classicreguitar@gmail.com, or tweet it at us at CRRetire.
I do want to say, however, that
there will be no prizes. Just put that out there.
Universal title announcement aside.
Yeah.
Raw kind of got fantasy booked by the internet this week.
A little bit. First of all, I liked them changing the commentary booth to the stage. But it did feel kind of weird that SmackDown, like, left it at regular. But again, like, I understand, like, they want to be different shows, so different setups, fine. They just got the older setup.
Yeah.
They actually got the pay-per-view setup.
They did.
They don't have a ramp. And I think the side panels are a little bit longer on SmackDown than what it usually
is. So, will the commentary booth still be ringside at pay-per-views? Because that's when people go through commentary tables.
I guess we'll see that.
So, that's the question.
Maybe not for Raw pay-per-views.
Maybe, I don't
know. But joint ones? Well,
Do you just not go through tables anymore on Raw? Are you safe from commentary?
Or do you have to travel a long distance to go through a table now?
Only on no count. But if there's ever like a no count out match, somebody's definitely that's going to start guaranteeing.
Especially since their platform's a little raised. Yeah, mm-hmm. someone's going to be jumping off of that many times.
Yeah.
Probably for the pay-per-views, they'll probably put them back where they were because they like having like the commentary team, the Spanish announce table, and the German announce table like all the same. Three of them. So probably then they'll probably, I imagine they'll keep it the same. But no, Raw felt it. You know, they didn't really change too much with the set other than the commentary thing. But enough of the look and everything changed to where it just felt like, all right, this feels different.
I do want to mention, we got new theme songs abound.
When I first heard it, I was really worried it was Nickelback again. Because it sounded a little bit
it did.
Whatever, going into town.
We're going out tonight?
Or, yeah, whatever.
To get our dairy right?
Something about balls out.
Go until the world stops turning?
Please stop.
Something burning to the ground. Burning to the ground tonight! Is that the right one? Is that the Nickelback
one? Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of, yes. Right. This is not the Nickelback podcast, and if it is, I'm leaving.
I like the song's fine, I like the video's fine. I don't like the new Raw logo.
No, I hate it.
I don't like that stupid-looking upside-down MW.
Here's the thing. It looks like I could have made it in Photoshop, and I don't know how to do jack squat in Photoshop.
Your WWE, you should know how to make W's look cool.
Right?
It's two-thirds of your logo. Why does your W look so dumb on Raw?
What they could have done is had the W stylized as the same W on the championship or the logo.
Yeah, if that's the Universal Championship W, then the other championship is definitely the A championship. Yeah. I will not acknowledge dumb-looking W as the main title.
With the Raw W now? If they're keeping with the theme of their WWE and then the Women's Championship, it's really going to be the same design, but like, an orange belt.
Yeah, that sounds very plausible.
Yeah, or purple, you know.
I also am not wild about SmackDown being called SmackDown Live now.
I like their logo a lot.
I like the logo, except that it has the word live in it.
Yeah.
I want to liken it to when DC relaunched their entire new comics, and they called it the New 52 because they were launching 52 new titles starting at number one. And that was like 5 years ago, and they're still calling it the New 52, and you're like, it's not the New 52.
Sure,
it's the standard 52. It's what we're used to now. I feel like SmackDown Live is going to kind of get that way. We're like, SmackDown Live! And we're like, every week.
Yeah.
And Raw. And, like, it's not a big deal anymore.
We don't call it Raw Live. Yeah.
So.
I understand that. And I
get, that's the thing, is like, I get for the first week we're calling it SmackDown Live. First month, honestly. We're live every week. SmackDown
now that you're
Live.
Seeing it like
but they're on, like, oh, you put it in a logo.
You put it in a logo.
You're doubling down on
you
this.
You see it plastered all over trucks and merchandise and banners and and ring aprons and everything. You're just like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sticking around. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hope that goes away quick enough.
You weren't going to talk about the commissioners and the GMs, were you?
Do you want to?
I really don't.
I mean,
I'm just saying, like, please don't be yet another person from the internet that's like, they promised that they wouldn't focus on the powers or the authority, and that's exactly what they did in the first segment of each show. I'm like, yes, and that was it.
There was
a lot of people online complaining about that, and I feel like at this point, like, guys, you've got Roman Reigns out of the main event. And you've got Finn Balor in the main event. And you got Dolph Ziggler going for a championship. Stop complaining. We've got pretty much everything we ever asked for.
I understand the complaint, especially like in the height of the authority, where it was like, the authority is the first 30 minutes of every episode of Raw. I get that complaint.
Mm-hmm.
But that complaint for me is not, I don't like the fact that there is an authority figure on the show.
Yeah.
I I absolutely love the fact that it's done a 30 figure on the show.
And honestly, the fact that they open, like, these new formats with both of these shows, it makes sense to open up with who's in charge, because this is them, like, they've hit the reset button, and now they're like, all right, now we've got to establish this, and so we're establishing that we are in power for good or evil or whatever, and we're going to tell you how we're going to go from this point on.
Yeah.
It's just, it's like an all-hands meeting at a company, where it's just like, the person in charge is just, hey, this is what we've got going on, and go.
I want that to continue. I'm sorry if I'm going to, if people are going to, like, jump down that. I like, you know, fighting the power storylines.
Sure.
That's a pretty tried and true thing that's worked since the 90s. It's worked since forever, but, like.
But that's where really.
The Stone Cold thing is what I'm obviously alluding to.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't have set rules for how your sport works, you need somebody to come out and make some rules sometimes. You're like, all right, for right now, we're going to use these made-up rules.
Right.
Until we say, I mean, you need that.
Until those rules no longer convenient to us.
Yes.
Yeah.
You need somebody out there to do that. And it works better to have somebody being like, I just thought of this. Instead of Michael Cole being like, as we all know, this has always been the case. We're sure. Like, you liar.
You're right. Yeah, absolutely. I forgot what point I was going to make next. But no, I like that they are coming out and they establish. And then
it's also Mick Foley and Daniel Bryan. I'm on them on every episode of everything. Absolutely.
But then, like, especially on Raw, once they set that up, they got out of the way.
They did.
You know?
SmackDown also had no recaps of Raw.
I know.
It was 2 hours or 1 hour and 20 minutes of brand new product. Very exciting.
Agreed. But yeah, but as far as like I like the two Fatal 4-Ways on Raw. And again, like the biggest, I feel like, plus on Raw this week was it has to be Charlotte and Sasha Banks. That's the match where I was alluding to earlier, where it's like it's gone at least in my top three matches of the year.
Yeah.
And I've got to reevaluate to figure out if they might have taken over the top spot. I feel like Nakamura and Sami Zayn are still on top, but I don't know.
I used to make a list of things I want this year.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere around the beginning of the year, just like, hey, I want, you know, not specific things, but just general things. And one thing I would always put on that, like, wish list was, like, one good Raw match. Like, I want more than one good Raw match, but I want, like, that one, like, holy crap, that was on Raw.
Like, Cena and Punk.
Cena and Punk is a big one. There was also a Punk and Ziggler one the year before.
Okay.
That was one that kind of started. I was like, this is an incredible match. This is a main event TV show match.
Yeah.
That they're giving away on free television.
I mean, my perfect example of that was after WrestleMania 23. Yeah, after WrestleMania 23, it was I've told the story. Shawn Michaels like went for an hour, it was like three commercial breaks. And it was such a great match, and that's what solidified me getting back into wrestling. Like I had watched a couple shows before that. I was like, I might give this up in a little bit. And then I saw that match. I was like, nope, I'm in. And it happened on Raw.
Yeah,
you know.
And I feel like, I almost feel like this week we got tons of that, because I thought the both Fatal 4-Ways were incredible.
Yes,
both looked like they could go several different directions several times. I thought the women's title match was incredible. I thought Finn Balor and Roman Reigns put on a great main event.
Yeah, like it was, and like, you know, I was watching it and I was like looking at the time. I was like, oh, Joel's right. They put on their main event at 10:00, and then Roman and Finn, and they might not have gotten quite to that point as far as like greatness in matches, but they came pretty close. Like they got as close as they wanted to.
Yeah.
You know.
But I gotta say, like, again, so if you had on Sunday night gone onto the internet, any wrestling forum, and typed in, I think Finn's gonna debut, I think Finn's gonna win two matches on Raw, I think Finn's gonna be number one contender for a brand new top-tier title, I think Finn's going to beat Roman clean all on his first episode of Raw. You would have been booed off the internet.
You would have
been,
if there was a way for fellow Reddit users to tar and feather somebody, they would have figured out how.
They would have made up a new word for smark. Yeah. Just for you. No, some they would sort have, of mega smark. No,
whatever your username is, that would be the new term for smark.
Yes.
Yeah. Just
and guess what happened? Oh, and, right. and then put in a little postscript. And Sasha Banks wins the women's championship from Charlotte with a submission move.
Right.
Cleanly.
Sasha Banks is going to make Charlotte tap out two nights in a row. Yeah. No.
So yeah, Raw was booked by
the internet.
The internet's wildest dreams.
And then the internet splashback was the main event of SmackDown with Ziggler winning.
Yeah. SmackDown didn't feel as, you know, here's everything you ever dreamed of.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, because it was like, oh, Randy Orton and The Miz, all right, yeah.
That felt weird, right? Like, just specifically, like, Orton hitting that one RKO and then just sitting there.
So, Randy Orton came back, it felt like, with zero ring rust. But it felt like he had some mic rust. In that whole initial setup?
Well, at least we remember, like, Randy Orton's never exactly been great on the mic.
He's never been great on the mic.
You know?
But it felt a little bit like, it felt like he was in dad mode while he was gone and hadn't quite switched back into, like, Apex Predator mode.
Yeah, he's being a little goofy.
Yeah.
For my taste, for the way I like my Randy
Orton. For my understanding of Randy Orton.
And then, as far as the match, like, I don't know if the him playing up the shoulder was just part of the way that they played that match, or if he like felt like he legit like did something to it, because that's the one that they repaired, and the one that's had like repeated problems for him.
Right.
But the whole thing just felt odd. And again, like I feel like, you know, the way that he was just kind of like brooding over Miz after he hit that first RKO and just sat there in his mind, he's like, yeah, I'm acting my face off right now. But the rest of us were just like, you're just staring at him.
It was the one thing on SmackDown that felt fillerish.
Yeah.
And, okay, fine.
He hit the RKO and the ref was like, dude, you've got like 10 more minutes. He's like, okay. It's okay, guys. I was in one of the 12 rounds movies or whatever.
He was in 12 rounds Reloaded. The second of the 12.
Yeah, you're right.
Not called 13 rounds. God.
Yeah. He's what like, no.
Drop
guys,
the ball.
I got this. Check out this acting performance right here. Stare.
And I guess it was like the appeal was, oh, we're getting to see Randy Orton in action again for the first time in 9 months.
And it was so weird for him not to be super tan. Like, yep. That was one of the big things. Like, wow. Like, I know I'm not really one to, like, make fun of somebody's paleness, but I'm sitting there like, wow, he's pretty pale. Especially since he's the originator of the Orangemeter.
Yeah. It feels like, at least this week, it felt like there was genuine competition as to who was going to put on the better show between Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, week one definitely went to Raw, though.
Week one goes to Raw.
Yeah.
Because Raw
has
strapped a rocket to Finn Balor.
Absolutely, and none of us was expecting it.
No.
You know, I figured, you know, Roman would be in the main event. Honestly, I didn't really imagine Finn Balor getting past the first Fatal 4-Way. And then when that happens, like, well, surely he's going to get beat by Roman, and everyone's going to be mad. And then it didn't happen, and he won. And I'm like, oh, they just...
What do I do with that?
Put everything up. And again, like, and the next night when Dolph won, it's like, you're just putting everything upside down for me right now.
And that's the thing is, if none of that stuff had happened on Raw, had happened, and it was Dean Ambrose versus Dolph Ziggler, I would have, like, started clicking back to when CM Punk was champion, but John Cena still had all the main stories, so all the top-tier heels were fighting Cena.
Yep.
And so he was fighting, like, and that's when he fought Dolph Ziggler. He fought Ziggler at Royal Rumble.
Yep.
And
took a backseat to the Rumble.
And that's the kind of thing where it's like, you know, yeah, this guy's solid in the ring work, but definitely an upper mid card.
Sure.
And he fought, you know, of his 12 matches in 2012, like probably 6 to 8 of them were that kind of like
So are
you mid-card feel?
So just on that subject, are you predicting the same thing I am as far as like what's going to main event SummerSlam? Or what do you think is going to main event SummerSlam?
I don't know yet. I want to watch some more.
Okay.
And see where they go with both of these.
Yeah, I feel like
it should be the WWE Championship. The WWE sure. Championship should main event every pay-per-view that it's eligible for, since we sure. have some. Except for extreme circumstances.
Right.
I think I've been okay with basically once in a lifetime and Taker versus Shawn Michaels, streak versus career.
Yeah.
Those are the two matches I'm like, all right, bigger than
you can see that. Yeah, absolutely. And then beyond that, anything with John Cena and John Laurinaitis, no. Shouldn't have happened.
No, should not have happened.
Maybe mid-card at best.
Yeah. And the Rumble. The Rumble should go on last sure. because it's named after the Royal Rumble. But that was, again, to go to CM Punk when he was championship and did not main event mm-hmm. for the first, like, 6 months of 2012.
The only... Damn it, my brain just went just blank again. I feel like the biggest argument for Seth and Finn is, you know, them trying to, like, really, like, play up the whole parade of, you know, bringing out a new championship, crowning a new champion, like, that whole thing. Plus it's Raw.
Yeah. I can see it happening.
If they really want to throw us a curveball.
It was very interesting when Finn first came out for the first match. And they're playing Finn's theme song.
Sure.
And it gets to the part where everybody's supposed to do the arm spread.
Yeah.
They did a real tight close-up on Finn Balor.
Yeah.
And NXT has, you know, started like, here's the crowd ready for the arm thing.
Sure.
And I think they weren't sure if the arm thing was going to happen.
Because in that second match, they pulled back more for that.
They pulled back a little more for that. And the arm thing wasn't ever. It was not like NXT, where we are trained.
Sure.
Like, that NXT crowd.
But then again, when they showed the crowd doing it, it was also the second match of the night, so people were like, okay, now we throw our hands up plenty of times already, come on.
So, and I think, yeah, it's...
But
I think it will catch on.
Yeah, no, come SummerSlam, everyone's gonna be waving their arms.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess we're just gonna wait around for Bayley now.
Yeah. Probably. I mean,
again, like, I feel like at least her and Nakamura, either like right before or right after SummerSlam. I feel
comfortable saying Brooklyn's by the end of 2016, they'll both be on rosters.
Fair enough. Like, I at least for Bayley, I feel like once she's done with Brooklyn too, she's on the main roster. And I feel like Nakamura's not going to be
long after. We're 1 week in. The big question is, if you could only watch one show next week, which one would it be?
It would probably be Raw.
Raw?
Because I'm really interested on how they're going to build Finn and Seth. And again, like, I just... There's... SmackDown has a few more questions that I'm, you know, interested in. As far as, like I said, you know, and again, like, the tag team thing with SmackDown there, you know, American Alphas are going to debut on SmackDown next week.
I will say one of the things that I'm leaning towards SmackDown as my answer is because, like, I want to know what they're going to do with the women's division.
Yeah.
They've kind of acted like they have some ideas. They kind of acted like they had some tag team ideas.
Yeah.
Do they really? Let's find out.
They should have swapped Nia Jax and Eva Marie.
What do you mean?
Eva Marie should have been on Raw, and Nia Jax should have been on SmackDown.
Okay, why you say that?
Well, I mean...
Okay, I actually kind of dug the Eva Marie segment.
I did as well. But you're on the blue show, you know? And, like, if you had to swap Nia Jax with anybody, you would probably want to go heel for heel. And who is a better intentional or whatever heat magnet than Eva Marie in the female division? Like, Charlotte, yes, because she works as a heel and she works to make you boo her. Eva Marie's just, you know, like we've talked about in the past, like, just her being her and everything around her is just like, don't like her. Nah.
Yeah.
Let's boo her. So throw her on the All Red show. than Nia Jax. I feel like she is a more... As much as I like to point out her shortcomings, she very easily plays a dominant heel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, it's because of her size and her power, which I feel like she needs to tap more into her power than her size. Just saying. Like, I don't like a leg drop as a finisher. So I feel like once they team her up with Charlotte, you know, let Mud Duck Girl like just kind of like do her own thing.
I think it's very possible Nia Jax will be quickly, if not the next contender for the title.
Oh sure,
I think they like her a lot. I think
they'll do a rematch with Charlotte and Sasha at SummerSlam. Then like probably soon after that, we'll have Sasha and Nia Jax, because they missed each other in NXT. Like, they just, you know...
Right.
They just were,
chips,
you know,
in the night.
Chips in the night on that one.
Right.
Kind of like, you know, Seth and Finn.
Yeah.
You know, which is why I'm excited to see SummerSlam.
Any final thoughts on this first week into the brand split?
So far, you know, like we said, like, so far, Raw is in the lead, and SmackDown, I feel like we'll be able to gain ground once they establish everything. Like, SmackDown has a lot more to establish than
it does,
Raw, as far as, like, women and tag team and new people coming in. Shelton Benjamin's coming in on SmackDown. They started advertising for that.
And I will say, right now, everything's exciting,
mm-hmm.
and I felt like the 3 hours was very full.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll be feeling that next week or in the coming weeks.
But as far as like
that was 3 hours worth of entertainment.
I will say that SmackDown felt like it went by quickly.
It did.
Yeah.
It did. And that might be because I'm conditioned to 3 hours, but when they started coming out with the main event, I was like, this is gonna be like a, you know, 90-minute main event. Oh no, it's not. I was just
right, yeah.
Where we're at that time, okay.
Yeah. And honestly, I feel like they'll probably wait. I would wait on the whole Cruiserweight thing until after the Cruiserweight,
I feel like they
Classic
will
wrap up. That way they can go ahead and... Because, you know, they already said that the end of that tournament will crown a Cruiserweight champion.
Yeah.
And I feel like just go ahead and move that person up to Raw. And
along with everybody else you're hiring from
the Cruiserweight
series.
And then figure out why in the world Kalisto's on SmackDown. Oh, I just remembered Zack Ryder botching things on SmackDown. I felt so bad for the guy.
He did, really bad. Like, yeah.
It was a drop kick to a sitting Kalisto, I believe, that just completely whiffed. And, like, it went, but
he
it wasn't...
slipped on the ropes?
I'm getting to that.
Okay.
But it was just a standing, like, drop kick to a sitting Kalisto that the camera angle, like, I was, like, looking straight at it when it happened. That was probably the only reason why I was, you know, I noticed it, but they could have gotten away with never really mentioning it. And then instantly, like, because Mara, I think, was like, oh, he hit him with a dropkick. And then right after that, JBL was like, but he missed it. I'm like, you could have gotten away with that one.
Yeah.
And then you had the slip off of the top rope on the elbow.
Yeah.
I felt bad for Zach, especially the next day when he tweeted that he now knew how Shockmaster felt.
Well, that's the thing, is like he's on a live show.
Yeah.
That Zack Ryder is, you know, one of the prime examples of beloved by fans, gets himself over through sheer charisma and nobody cares.
And now it's probably just going to be stuck in a tag team.
And that's
with,
the thing,
it's
like,
Mojo.
This was the kind of thing where you're like, oh, he's live. He can show off some stuff, get some Zack Ryder chants going.
Yep.
He doesn't have all the same names to compete with that he did when it was one roster.
He's got a little bit more room to work with.
And especially when it was all one writing room. He's got a smaller writing room with a more specific writing room that he needs to impress. And so,
yep.
Yeah, it just kind of sucks.
Just not quite out of the gate like you want.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll turn it around, I guess.
Maybe. Cross your fingers.
Cross your fingers. Yeah. So, we'll see how this goes in a week, too.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CRAttire. We live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays. And maybe starting on Tuesdays now. You know, who knows?
Yeah.
Might have to change this ending.
Oh, that's going to throw us off.
I know, right?
It's already thrown me off. And if you have any questions, comments, if you have a design of the Universal Championship that you want to send us, send that over to our email. That's classringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. You subscribe there. Get new episodes every week. Maybe give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or if you write a review, that kind of interaction helps out the podcast with iTunes metrics, thingamajigs.
And if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We are also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. Just kind of see what other projects we're working on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.